Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. Joining me in the studio right now are a couple of folks from the Copper Country Toastmasters. We're going to learn a lot about what they are and what they do and how you can become involved. Joining me right now is Secretary of the Group, Horst Schmidt, and also the current President, Tyler Mace. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having us.
I guess the obvious question for us to start is, what is Toastmasters? What do you guys do?
Yeah, Toastmasters is an international club, and we have a local club here. We do on a typical Monday night, every other Monday night, we meet, we exercise the work of speaking. A lot of times people have trouble just starting that conversation, just starting to talk or go to different levels. And we want to give people exercise, the opportunity to exercise that, meet. It's an encouraging environment. It's set up that way. And we really help each other go to the next level.
So this is a local group, but you're part of a larger organization.
That's right. Toastmasters was started about 80 years ago in San Diego, California, at a YWCA there. I think it was YWCA. And it started with the inspiration to help people become stronger leaders and speakers. And it grew from there throughout California, throughout the United States, even throughout all other countries. I don't say that with much exaggeration. It's nearly all countries that it's in. We now have one. We're celebrating 3 years existing in the Copper Country in Houghton, Michigan.
Now, we were talking a moment before we started. It would be similar to other programs, like perhaps like a Dale Carnegie or something else that people may be also familiar with.
That's right. Dale Carnegie had a program that actually inspired our founding members to start our group. I haven't attended Dale Carnegie myself, but I know that the goals are the same, to help people become stronger communicators, help it become more natural for people to speak out.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about the local group as far as where do you meet and how people get involved, how that works.
Yeah, we welcome guests every time. It's an open thing. We currently meet at the hospital, at the Portage Hospital, every other Monday, sorry, not weekend. We meet at 7 to 9 every second and fourth Monday. This coming Monday is a special event, which is at a different place. We'll probably go to that in a bit. But we welcome any guest that comes. We're happy to have them even take part. We have a section of the group that invites everybody. You don't have to have a prepared anything. You just casually, extemporaneously create a small speech, a two-minute speech, if you'd like. Get up and stand and exercise that.
Your events are on our community calendar at QMNOReport.com, so we often announce that they're coming up and invite people to go out there and join. And I guess it's good that you're at a hospital, because if you have a deathly fear of speaking publicly, you don't have to go very far if you're in need of medical attention. But I'm guessing that the people that are there are very supportive of you when you're trying it out.
That's right. We encourage the practice of evaluating and giving good feedback. So there's an exercise to that when we give people something constructive to work on, we want to frame it that way, first of all, that this is an opportunity for you that you can grow in. But in particular, help people know where they're good at, because we often don't tell ourselves, we don't hear that feedback often, to know what we're good at and then excel at that. And so that's our framework traditionally from week to week, that we would have that encouragement in that feedback.
Horst, let me ask you, what type of person does this program, I guess, cater to? I mean, who's a good candidate for this?
Well, actually, anyone who wants to speak and develop their leadership skills. And it depends upon where you are in your career. I think a lot of people who come into it about mid-career, say around 30 years old, and then we can go all the way up to my age, and that will allow you to develop your skills. For example, I came to Toastmasters the first time when we started the club 3 years ago, because I was doing tours at the Quincy Smelter, and I could feel the panic coming. And you know, you just kind of freeze up. You know, you guys are the pros, so you know how that works. And so I thought, you know, when I saw this thing for Toastmasters, this is great. I can start, you know, getting over some of the fears. And it's not that I didn't speak before. It's just that I got out of practice. And it's just like bike riding. You have to keep using it in order to be able to retain those skills.
And, you know, you're complimented, and I appreciate that about being a professional. Well, part of, you know, becoming trained for this is some a program similar to Toastmasters, as we were mentioned, because many years ago I took the Dale Carnegie course for it, and it's, you know, as you mentioned, was the same kind of goals. It does really, really help, because I am personally, I am something of an introverted person. It takes a lot of effort for me to open up and speak publicly, and it was training like what you guys offer that helped me be able to do that.
Yeah, we've seen at our club though there's a lot of people that do come in mid-career and grow there out of a work experience, we've also seen this diversity of people that are, you know, post-career, people that are pre-career, that are starting at university. And I think there's many opportunities for people to see inwardly, oh, I need help at communicating. This is a way to get started in that. We are actually considering being a lot closer to campus, connecting with career services there. Their goals are similar, right? We want to help people become better at getting at communicating, starting conversations, starting presentations. And so we are interested in helping out students there. We're interested. Some of the post-career people are people that are, they're maybe starting a business. We've got some people that are starting business ideas. We've got people that are presenting to school boards, those kind of things, and working in politics locally. It's been really interesting to see that mix.
You know, you mentioned a wide variety of different professional jobs, because there are very few that will not require you to stand up and talk to people, absolutely. Or even not standing up, but even one-on-one, if you talk about possibly looking for a job or interviewing and having the confidence to be able to speak.
About feedback there that I've noticed in my career as a software engineer, that it took me a while to notice this, but in software, as we work with other people, we actually have feedback all the time. It looks different. It doesn't look like feedback at first, but you realize, oh, I need to communicate with this person and share these elements of letting them know what they're good at and helping them improve certain, in our case, lines of code that can work a little bit better. But to introduce that, there's ways to do that in all kinds of careers that we're giving feedback we don't even notice.
Sure. Well, Horst and I are talking about, we got a broadcaster and then somebody that was leading tours, but you mentioned you're a software engineer. How did you get involved in this program?
In Toastmasters? Well, gosh. My original introduction to Toastmasters was actually between careers. I had a temporary job. I worked at a factory for a little bit. And there was a friend of mine, a new friend at that factory, and I asked him, you are so easy to talk to. How is it? How do you do this? And he answered me. He didn't directly answer the question, but at the time I was on my way to Houghton. This was 12 years ago or so. He told me, he knew that I was headed to Houghton, and he said, when you go to Houghton, find a Toastmasters there. And that was all he needed to say. And I realize now how that worked, because I've been through it. I've been, okay, I've exercised those goals of how to communicate, and I'm not as afraid of creating conversation anymore. And it's a lot easier for me. So I've forgotten his name. It's, you know, 12 years ago, 13 years ago. But I'm grateful that I had that conversation, had a great, good friendship. And here I am. I think that's it is that piece of when we become easier to communicate with, to create conversation with, to be friendly with, when we have that exercise of opening our mouths and being okay with it.
So Toastmasters was already here in the area when you came and looked for it?
No, it wasn't. There was a gap in time. We are celebrating 3 years since we started. I think there was a stage of Toastmasters. I want to give credit for that. Decades ago in the area, and we saw one or two alumni come to our group and come and gone in new phases of life, but it's been 3 years. We've had a lot of founding members stay with us. I've been impressed to see that kind of commitment there, and we've had a lot of new faces come, and we've been pretty successful in just a short period of time.
Horst, can you tell me what a Toastmasters meeting is like?
Sure. The meeting starts out with Pledge of Allegiance and our basic slogan, which is that we attempt to help people become competent speakers. And I think that's the thing that we want to emphasize. We're not looking for people to be perfect or to be these charismatic speakers. If you have that in you, we certainly would encourage it. But it's getting you to that level where you feel comfortable speaking in front of groups. And what I've noticed when I've looked into testimonials in the Toastmaster magazine, people always say that it really helps them develop their leadership skills, because they're more confident and people listen to them and say, you know, that they feel that this person is able to do the job that they need. And then the next step is that we have introductions, and that way it's a number of times during the meeting where people have an opportunity to speak. So it's always the emphasis on getting you to commit to saying something. So, and then we'll have an introduction and say something briefly about, say, what did you do during the past week, or what do you want to do this spring? So it's just simple things. Then we move on to our speeches, and whoever is signed up, it could be one speech, it could be three, it could be four. And then people give their speeches. We have the a break, and the people who evaluate them then come up and say, you know, this is what you did that well, and this is something, you know, we think maybe you need improvement on. So we have this hamburger approach where you have the positive statements, and then you put in the criticism in a helpful, constructive way, so the person feels good about what they've done. And then at later on, we have something called table talk topics, which is basically allowing you to speak extemporaneously on a topic. And, you know, we try to make it a fun thing so people laugh, because I've noticed when I've gone to clubs, if you have humor, it really makes the meeting go well. And then after that, we have a quiz where we ask people, do you remember what's, you know, somebody said about something, and that usually creates a little bit of laughter again.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, and then an evaluation is done by a person who's looks over what's been done to see if we've what's done well, what didn't work out, and what we should drop. And then we also have a person who's the an om counter, which is very important, because when we started out, we were doing like 100, 250 ums and ahs. Well, now it tends to be down into the 30s. So things are much, much better than they used to be in terms of just being aware of that kind of phrasing that you use, where you want to say something, and then you use and you have one continuous sentence. And that's basically the meeting.
It'd be interesting if we had a grammarian cover what we're talking about right now, our conversation.
Yeah, yeah, I don't want anybody counting my ums and ands or whatever. Yeah. I'll probably have plenty
but
of
it,
them.
But having that awareness really changes how we communicate, and maybe we might ask ourselves a question of why we do that, and so some filler. How do we fill words for some purpose there, and understand what that is, and how do we rephrase ourselves to become more clear?
Well, even if you build the confidence enough to do the public speaking portion of that, when you're faced with the criticism portion, people often are afraid of that because of the, you know, the American Idol approach, and they're going to have a Simon Cowell in the group it's going to chew them apart. I mean, what's the environment like?
We don't have people chew each other apart, right? We try to make a baseline of encouragement. That is something that I've been working really hard. I feel like myself, I am an encourager at a personal level. I hope to be anyway. That is a good goal to have, and we want to create that environment around us. Future president, she's also an encourager. I'm excited about that too. And so that is the nature of our atmosphere, that we are encouraging, and you don't see that tearing into each. That's not a part of what we do. I haven't seen that. I'm grateful for that. I think that is actually part of the feedback. If we give feedback about that, we might give each other feedback about, hey, let's be more constructive. We might do that. I haven't heard that very often. I think it's naturally part of the pace.
You have a big event coming up where you're having an open house and some special guests. I wanted to hear a little bit about that.
Yeah, two things. There's three things about it. First of all, we do have a special guest. We have the district director coming of Toastmasters. So she is from, actually, I'm not sure where she's from.
Milwaukee area.
Is it Milwaukee? Yeah.
Yes.
And she's the district director there. And we've always had some great encouragement from the district. Our district is actually Wisconsin and Upper Michigan. There's Toastmasters in Lower Michigan, I'm sure, but we're not as connected. The larger part of why we did this, we created an event here, is this is our third year anniversary. So we want to create a little party for that, celebrate that. So we invited her up. We also call this an open house. So we're encouraging the community, if you haven't tried Toastmasters, or even if you have, come and see. We're going to be high level. We're also going to be encouraging people to take part if we can. There's elements that we want to do, some of those elements of table topics to help people be welcome to do what we normally do. And so that's the three parts.
Are you partnered at all with other local organizations, or at least have sort of a symbiotic relationship, like Keweenaw Young Professionals, or those type I can think of, that just jump to mind, that, people that are trying to have networking opportunities through a program like that might also benefit from Toastmasters?
That's right. So Keweenaw Young Professionals did come on board. They came to us and said, we want to be part of what you're doing. Then we also did the opposite. We talked to them and told us about Toastmasters. And also, we've been at other clubs. We've been at the Kiwanis. We are coming soon to Rotary, other groups. There's a Young Women Professionals. I don't know the name of the group. I think that's a group on campus.
Okay.
That we're connected with. We've had conversations with Michigan Tech Career Services, and actually some classes that we've brought in an entire class into from Finlandia to our club. That's been exciting to have that.
Yeah, that is pretty neat.
So that was actually someone's idea to come, and we're grateful for those ideas. Hey, bring your class. That's great. We'll work with you to do that and to help people understand what we do and give them encouragement.
Yeah, and to bring that up, since you are having an open house, if you're want to, I don't want to use the word piggyback, but if you, want to, if you want to get involved in Toastmasters, it also may, allow you to sort of branch out, meet some other people in other organizations, mm-hmm. and provide more opportunities to you. This open house that you're having, will it be at the hospital like your normal meetings?
Yeah, thanks for asking that. It is at the Carnegie Museum this time on the 12th, June 12th.
June 12th, okay.
At 7 o'clock.
Okay. Any cost to attend?
There's no cost to attend. We're glad to have anybody come. There is a cost to be a member, that as you commit yourself to, I want to grow, it is like a professional development cost. When I think of other professional development activities that I would pay for, it would be a lot more money. I think it is 45 per, there's a couple
six
other fees.
Months.
For six months, right. So there is a kind of a commitment. For me, I actually ask my employer to pay for it, because it benefits my employer that I'm a better communicator. And so it's easy for me to justify that kind of cost, particularly for me. But I'm sure many other people that it's a small cost given what the gain is.
And you have a special guest coming to that open house. People are part of Toastmasters International, too.
That's right.
Okay. Rick, Cindy Lutch, she's the district director. And I've met her a couple of times. And when I heard her, excuse me. When I heard her give a speech on meditation and Toastmasters at last fall's convention, I said, Cindy, you got to come up here and give this talk. Now, Cindy's, under 5 foot tall, but she's, this dynamo. And what we do is we let her, basically give her speech, and then we're going to have our speeches. So we hope this will buoy people up. But what's really, really important is Cindy is the person who helped start Toastmasters at Harley-Davidson's, where she works, and was able to create four clubs within that company. So it gives you some idea of the kind of energy that she wants to put into these kinds of activities. So we want her to come up as part of what would I call our tradition of having the district director come every year. And this year it's special because we think with the move over to Carnegie, we hope that this will, kick it off, and people will be more interested and more willing to come because we'll be more visible. And hopefully with this kind of talk, that people will get the idea that it isn't something that is for someone else to do because I can't do it. And I think this is the feeling that people have when they come, and we want to make sure that they're welcome. And Toastmasters, in every club I've been to, you're always welcome warmly, mm-hmm. and we're no exception. So I think people need to know that we're not going to do the the stare and say, you know, who the hell are you? We're going to basically say welcome, introduce ourselves and let them introduce us.
I think our club is very good at that, yeah, in particular, very welcoming. We've got certain people there that are just very open to introducing themselves and making people feel welcome.
I used to work for a woman that kind of a similar description, somebody that just had an amazingly outgoing personality was, you know, to the rest of us that worked there, and we were in sales at the time, it was so easy. And she would tell us during the sales meeting, listen, I put my pants on the same way you guys do every single morning, one leg at a time. There's something that I'm out there doing that you can't learn how to do. Yep. And you know, so in that example, you want to know how to be like, you know, one of those people that you know, a really good speaker. Well, they're not born that way. You know, it's training that they've learned, and they get more comfortable. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, that element of just letting yourself out there, you know, just putting yourself out there and letting it kind of hang out and going for it. Just mm-hmm. that, you know, getting past that apprehension, the fear that we have of speaking and just, you know, letting it all go. And that, and you get through that, and you can do pretty good things even in front of a crowd.
We've seen a lot of members that I've been able to see that for the 3 years, that they started out a certain way, and then suddenly it's like they're a different person just by exercising that. I think that this only happens by practice, and we don't normally have opportunities to practice leading, practice being in front of people. In fact, there's another element about, it's not just giving speeches, but it's also about leading the meeting. Sometimes there's work there, and it's a different kind of experience, but it's definitely a leadership experience. And you see these differences, and people have been able to see that delta of you were maybe more quiet, more reserved, maybe more scared, and now you're free to talk. We're knowing who you are better. And maybe that's a little bit me. Maybe I've seen it more in other people in particular. I could cite out some examples, but I won't do that over the radio. Yeah. But it's been very common for us.
Yeah, and it's that confidence factor. It's not necessarily just all public speaking as what we picture as public speaking, but you know, having the confidence to know that your opinion matters. You know, if you disagree with the person speaking to you, how to disagree correctly, how to voice your disagreement, having the confidence to do so without becoming an argument.
And it takes practice to do that.
Right.
For me to share a story, I need to be telling it and to continue that process and hone in on it a little better.
And how to speak up during a board meeting, those type of mm-hmm. Things, and get yourself noticed. Because, you know, as I'm sure many of us have seen, it's not always the smartest person that gets the promotion. It's the one that can share their ideas the best.
Yes.
And get noticed best. So
very true.
I see a lot of potential, you know, a lot of areas where people can benefit from, you know, a program like this, even if you're not going to be wanting to run out on stage and start introducing, you know, acts or giving public speaking.
It's interesting. We've seen even professional speakers in Toastmasters. Like, they're already on a high level, but they are still wanting that practice of being there. And so we're on all levels of placement. I welcome you also, the interviewers, to come and be with us. It's truly for everybody.
Rick, I wanted to mention that there's not just the local club, but we also have conventions on the state level and on the international level, because Toastmasters has over 14, I think about almost 15,000 clubs worldwide. And we have approximately a third of a million people as members. So we're a huge, diverse base. So if you go somewhere around the world, you can always find the Toastmasters Club, and you'll always be welcome. Even language isn't a barrier, because there's probably always someone who will be able to speak English. And so these are the kinds of things that makes Toastmasters so effective. Because when I travel, I usually look to see if there's a club in the town that I'm going to be staying at.
Yep.
And then I will try to get to that meeting. And it's really great to see how clubs work. And you realize that our struggles are everyone's struggles. You're always working to try to have the best possible club. You're trying to make sure that all the functions are done during the meetings, and that people, again, feel comfortable, you know, being there and being free to express themselves.
So Toastmasters has their local open house coming up on Monday, June 12th at 7 p.m. at the Carnegie Museum. It's free to stop on by. And, of course, you guys meet every other Monday at UP Health System Portage. And that was also at 7 o'clock, correct?
That's right.
Okay, and second and fourth Mondays.
Second and fourth. Okay, second and fourth Mondays. And, you know, people are welcome to come, try it out. No obligation to join. Just, you know, learn a little bit more. And, you know, probably after a little while, you probably would be inclined to join. I think it would be a lot of benefits for doing so. If people do want to learn a little bit more about Toastmasters, what's the best way for them to do that?
Toastmasters.org has a great site that sets a baseline of what we try to do, what our goals are. And so we try to do what they're saying. I think Toastmasters.org is the best way to find out more.
Okay. Moore Schmidt, Tyler Mace of Copper Country Toastmasters, thank you for coming on the program.
Thank you for having us.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.